Hello, and welcome to NaturalDocRadio.com. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm a licensed clinical nutritionist, and I'm here today with Dr. Herbert Slavin. Hi, Dr. Slavin.
Hi, Janet.
And as always here on NaturalDocRadio.com, we are bringing you the latest news to update your approach to maintaining your good health. And today, I'm sure Dr. Slavin has something on the agenda.
Well, I have a few things to talk about, but on the way here, I was listening to a report over the on the radio or television. They were talking about the flu shot. Now, if you go online you type in flu shot 2014, you'll probably be able to find this. You know, a lot of places are all promoting the flu shot. But this particular article just came out, and
it's very, very interesting what they are now broadcasting about the 2014 strain of flu. And it's very interesting because what they're saying is the flu, the actual virus, has mutated.
That's exactly right. So they're saying, you know, even in the best of years, the flu shot, if it's working, may be only 50% effective. And that's in your healthiest group of recipients. The elderly patient doesn't get that good a response from it. But this year they're saying the virus is mutated, the flu shot is for a different strain, it won't be effective. But then they go ahead and say, but take it anyway because, you know, something is better than nothing. And
well, that's what they're saying, that even a bad flu vaccine is going to give you some protection. I don't know what you're seeing, Dr. Slavin, in your patient load, but I am seeing quite a number of individuals who are succumbing to a wide range of symptoms. Most of them are respiratory symptoms, and they are struggling to recover from whatever illness they've come down with. They have a fever, they feel terrible, and it seems to go on for more than 2 weeks.
And I just came across this report. I don't know if you saw this about Novartis. You
did? Oh, very scary stuff.
No, headline is Novartis flu vaccine on hold in Italy after suspicious deaths. And you know, here's the problem though. You're giving the flu shot to a large group of people, many of which are the elderly and infirm, and they're going to die statistically in a large group of, in that category, you're going to have people dying for whatever cause. And if you give them all the flu shot and they die, is the flu shot contributing to their death or not? This is what they're trying to investigate in Italy, because about 13 deaths occurred within days of getting the flu shot.
Okay, and that's it. 48 hours after having received the vaccine, 3 people died. And then by the end of November, the number of deaths had risen to close to 13. So very, very interesting and very important for people to know. I'm going to say, if you are ill, if you're dealing with sniffles, maybe you have a little bit of a scratchy throat, maybe you have a little bit of a headache, or you're feeling not the usual level of energy that you have every day, if any of those things are part of how you are feeling, don't have the vaccine then. My suggestion is wait until you feel very, very well. If you have made up your mind that, yes, indeed, you want to receive the flu vaccine. Dr. Slavin, are there any individuals, any group that you would suggest the flu vaccine is a good decision?
No.
Okay, good.
I'm just thinking, in the hospitals, it was my observation, you know, a lot of people in the hospital, the employees were wearing masks, you know, surgical masks. So I asked them, why are you wearing a surgical mask? And the answer was, this is the trade-off for not getting a flu shot. We didn't want to get a flu shot, so the hospital says wear a surgical mask.
Okay, well, that's a very, very reasonable trade-off. I was thinking that many times the hospitals absolutely require their employees to receive a flu vaccine. So if you are a hospital employee and you choose not to receive the vaccine and the administration tells you that you must wear a mask, excellent, excellent trade-off. So in those individuals where you saw them wearing masks, what was the ratio between the masked and unmasked
nurses? It's hard to say. I would say there were, maybe 20%, 30%.
Okay, so yeah. It was a smaller percentage.
Yeah, those were just the more enlightened employees at the hospital.
Possibly
avoided the flu shot.
Possibly those who are listening to naturaltalkradio.com have been listening to us for years.
Now, I want to read this that was published. It says, even in 2014, influenza kills. And they say here that it can't be repeated too many times during the flu season that people can die from the flu. So therefore, this is their cause and effect. Therefore, the flu vaccine is one of the two vaccines most demonized by the anti-vaccine movement. The first one, of course, this is interesting that Gardasil jumped to the top of the list.
Because of so many people experiencing serious adverse events after having received the Gardasil.
So with Gardasil, they're trying to protect against cancer. Alternative med fans frequently castigate conventional medicine for not emphasizing prevention enough. But HPV vaccines put the lie to that. HPV vaccines protect against an infection that is usually fairly harmless in and of itself, but has the long-term effect of vastly increasing the risk of at least one potentially deadly cancer and likely several others. Now, I have a little issue with that. The HPV vaccine only protects against a couple of strains.
And there are
the human papillomavirus.
More than 40 strains.
Right, so they just want to get every male and female vaccinated against it because they want, now they've figured it out that you want to vaccinate the male so he doesn't spread it to the female. So now they can get everybody vaccinated against a disease that's statistically doesn't have a high death rate compared to so many other diseases. And you can be protected against if you do a pap test.
If you do a pap test and you are told that you have abnormal cells in that pap test, what the approach should be in regard to prevention, in my opinion, would be high antioxidant doses. So vitamin A, vitamin C, vitamin E, the trace mineral selenium. Those are critically important in therapeutic doses. Then, in addition to those, zinc is crucially important and folate. Very, very important to have those nutrients in significantly supported levels. And what's very interesting, because typically folic acid or folate would come in doses of maybe 1,000 micrograms, 5,000 micrograms, 10,000 micrograms of folic acid would be considered a very high dose. And in some individuals, to recover from the situation of abnormal cervical cells, a dose as high as 30 milligrams of folic acid might be required. So you need to understand the difference between therapeutic dosing and preventive dosing.
Well, in our experience, and we've seen women with abnormal pap tests, like you were saying, actually reverse it, with the use of folic acid.
Right. But sometimes, you know, the dose needs to be so much higher than a typical dose.
But but this article was about a couple who's you know, one of them died because, and they said, well, they didn't get the flu shot. That's why they died from the flu. But the one statistic I'm still waiting to see is what percentage of people are dying from the flu that had the flu shot. You see, they seem to withhold that type of information. They're just trying to get people to get the flu shot without really thinking about it. They should really think about their own immune system and their health. The flu shot does not make your immune system any stronger. It may.
Dr. Slavin, what is one of the best ways to test the efficacy of the immune system? What would you suggest to your patients?
You know, I'm not sure there's a good test. What test did you have in mind?
I didn't have one.
Yeah.
That's against my recording principles to ask a question that I don't have an answer for.
No, there really isn't a way to test that, but there are ways to. I'll give you an example. You check a vitamin D level, and if it's low, I mean, that person's immune system is weaker.
Okay, should you take a look at white blood cells? Is that going to give you any kind of
You're
information?
not going to get much from that. But you really, from taking a history of a patient, if they don't exercise, their immune system is weaker. If they don't get enough sleep, their immune system is weaker. If they're drinking alcohol to excess, their immune system is weaker. So these are all things that play a role, and just taking a flu shot isn't going to make as big a difference, for example, as optimizing your vitamin D levels. In fact, that was shown that people with the highest levels of vitamin D were better protected against the flu than people that got a flu shot because those people aren't doing anything to protect themselves.
I am such a fan of really strongly supporting your vitamin D level. The other test that I was just thinking of would be a zinc level, because again, zinc along with vitamin D is very, very helpful at having an immune system that is ready to fight off whatever you're exposed to.
And also zinc lozenges, if you are getting sick, can be very helpful. And there are a lot of treatments that are very effective. Some are even mainstream. It's interesting, though, when it comes to the flu, they had the that one prescription when studied said it re reduced the severity and the duration of the flu by about a day.
Right.
You know, not that big a deal. Not everybody exposed to the flu, for example, gets sick. And those are the people that you want to emulate. They're the ones, you know, not drinking excessively. Like I said, they're exercising regularly. Their vitamin D levels are good. They're eating healthy. You want to keep sugar down to a minimum. Sugar is going to weaken your immune system. So there's a lot of things you can do to fortify yourself.
It's interesting because one of the things that I look at is the profile of cholesterol, HDL, LDL, triglycerides, and I can pretty much tell whether that person's diet is superior or inferior. And it isn't necessarily that I have a belief that cholesterol is a significant predictor of heart disease or cardiovascular disease, but I can pretty much give you a very good idea of the role that vegetables might play in that person's diet.
And what Janet is alluding to is if you see an elevated cholesterol or triglyceride in somebody, it's not because they're eating a lot of saturated fat, it's because they're eating a lot of carbohydrates and sugar.
Junk food a lot of
Exactly.
times
You know, and
too.
that's a good transition. I did want to bring this up for a second before we finish with today's recording. And it started off very nicely. I don't know if you saw this one. The headline was. It was about Starbucks in particular, but in general, it's about.
Oh, I have an issue with
Yeah.
certain things at Starbucks,
Well,
yes.
I have to go on record saying I like Starbucks.
I don't dislike Starbucks, but I'm very picky about what I would put into my mouth from Starbucks.
Oh, well, here's what they said. Starbucks has an image of being a socially responsible, environmentally friendly company. And in 2013, 95% of their coffee was ethically sourced, and their goal is to reach 100% by 2015.
How do we do in 2014?
Well, other goals include reducing water consumption by 25% in their company-operated stores by 2015 and mobilizing their employees and customers to contribute $1 million of community service per year. They even, this is the part I liked, they even removed all the high fructose corn syrup and artificial trans fats, flavors, and dyes from their entire menu. So the news that this forward-thinking company might be supporting Monsanto, the world leader in genetically modified crops and seeds, in their bid to block a GMO labeling bill in Vermont might seem strange. So you have this little dichotomy here.
A lot of inter-corporate pressure going on.
So I want to clarify it a little bit. So the question is Starbucks really in cahoots with Monsanto, or are they really trying to keep you in the dark about what kind of genetically modified ingredients are in your food and beverage? Absolutely, albeit by proxy. And here's what it is. The common denominator is that group that they all belong to.
Grocery Manufacturers of America.
Right. So, I want to get to the...
And the it's very interesting because I had a discussion with someone whose husband was involved in a chain restaurant operation, and this chain restaurant belonged to the Grocery Manufacturers Association, and there was a very big discussion about how much the Grocery Manufacturers Association supported genetically modified organisms and paid very, very big bucks to prevent labeling of GMOs.
Well, in Vermont, they passed a law to make this possible, where they would label which products or foods are genetically modified, and the Grocery Association is trying to undo that whole thing. So
suing the state of Vermont.
So I want to enlighten our listeners as to what companies are members of the Grocery Association. You have PepsiCo, you have Coca-Cola, Nestle, Kraft, General Mills, Conagra,
Archer Daniel Midland,
Kellogg's, Campbell's, Smucker's, Hershey's, McCormick, and one I never heard of was Bimbo Bakeries. But the reason they're important, though, is all these companies have gotten into the organic cooking or organic foods, for example.
They own companies. They have purchased companies that are organic, have built their customer base on the fact that they are organic.
So, for example, Honest Tea, you've seen that one.
Yes.
Is owned by Coca-Cola.
Right.
Odwalla is Coca-Cola. Gerber Organic is Nestle. Sweet Leaf Tea is Nestle. Boca Burgers, that one is Kraft.
And I had never suggested Boca Burgers after I read the ingredient list. It's soy and genetically modified soy.
Cascadian Farm, General Mills.
Right.
I'm just picking out the ones I've heard of.
Kashi,
right?
Kashi. Oh, has just deteriorated. It used to be a truly fine company. And
they sold out? Is that what happened?
The original owner sold out, owned by Kellogg's now. And people are paying for what their former reputation was. So their products are very high priced, but of no better quality and full of genetically modified grains.
Then another company I've seen in a store, Morningstar Farms, is Kellogg's.
Kellogg's, right. Poor ingredients. Look at the label.
Wolfgang Puck Organic Soups, Campbell's. R.W. Knudsen, Smucker's. And you even have Smucker's Organic, Smucker's. And
Right. It's very sad when you start to understand that the large multinational corporations own or have purchased these small companies and really changed how their products are being manufactured.
So here's the action to take, because eventually we'll get our way, because look at it now, even in the stores. In Publix now, you have a lot of organic products. Even BJ's and the superstores have more and more. So the demand is being felt.
And people understand, okay, in the absence of GMO labeling, their choice is choose organic.
So here's what you do. Stop buying all non-organic processed foods. Instead, build your diet around whole, unprocessed foods, especially raw fruits and vegetables, and healthy fats from coconut oil, avocado, organic pastured meat, dairy and eggs, and raw nuts. Buy most of your food from your local farmer's market or an organic farm. I don't know, do we have those around here in South Florida?
Of course we do.
Okay, which is your local farmer's market?
Okay, every Saturday morning in most towns, starting, I'm going to say, around 7 in the morning to maybe 1 or 2 in the afternoon, you can find local farmers bringing in their produce. And if it isn't or certified organic, at least they tell you it's grown with non-GMO seed, no pesticides, herbicides, and harmful chemicals applied during the growth.
And here's something we were just talking about earlier today, Janet. The recommendation is to cook most or all of your meals at home using whole organic ingredients. In other words, you can't trust what you have when you go out to eat, although we're finding more and more restaurants, I think, are meeting that demand.
Right. There are more recognizing the market potential out there.
Now, if you can find those kind of restaurants, the ones that serve organic, cook from scratch, local food, those are the places to go to.
What people say to me is, it's so much work. The transition is a lot of work. Once you get accustomed to preparing your own alternative grains like quinoa and amaranth, millet, and so on, then you have a base, and the fresh vegetables, just stir-fried or steamed and added to that base. You want organic rice. People say to me, oh, I'm afraid of the arsenic in the rice. And I said, most of the arsenic comes from the chemical applications during the growing of the rice. So there are so many different approaches that you can use to literally make the transition, and then ultimately it just becomes habit, and it's a health-supporting habit.
Well, the different supermarkets around here, like Whole Foods, making it easier and easier to get the right kind of products. Although Whole Foods, I guess, has products from some of these companies as well, right? That we were saying.
Right. You have to be very, very careful. You want to know where the particular fruit or vegetable was grown, where it's coming from. And the other approach is find out about your local green markets that are on early on weekend mornings. Find out about the organic fruits and vegetables that are available at the big stores like Costco and BJ's and Trader Joe's, Greenwise here. So whenever you go into a health food store, it's very, very important. If you find that you really like something, make sure you read the ingredient list, because sometimes there are different products that kind of sneak their way into health food stores that might have an ingredient or multiple ingredients that you really don't want to be consuming on a regular basis.
Well, there's an app if you have a smartphone. I'm not sure, Jenna, if you've heard of this. I just discovered it. Called it's not Boycott. It's called Bicot.
Bycott.
B-U-Y.
I like it.
C-O-T-T. And what it will do is when you open it.
Yes. What will happen when we open it?
You use it to scan a product barcode.
Okay, excellent.
And it will tell you whether to support or avoid it. And it'll say, you know, to avoid it because it's in the category of supporting genetically modified foods, and that's what you want to avoid. So it'll give you that information.
Okay, I just downloaded Bycott.
So, they're very proactive in getting this information out. What were we doing before the internet to find this stuff out? We were in the dark.
We were much slower, and the information was disseminated without this speed.
If companies like Monsanto would have gotten to where they are today if the internet was available when they started out. In other words, the information of what they were doing was out there.
I think that there's still a lot under the radar. Monsanto, DuPont, Bayer, Dow, Syngenta. What's going on? Okay, aquaculture that I was speaking about. Genetically modified salmon being grown or farmed in Panama, and when you read the details, it's something that you truly want to stay away from. But until I came across a particular news article today, I had no idea that it had progressed to the state that it had, and that our FDA was actually considering allowing this monster fish to be marketed here in the United States. One other thing that I did want to mention is Oregon is kind of on the edge of passing a GMO labeling law, and they are within 600 votes of being able to pass the law, and so there is a recount with regard to GMO labeling law in the state of Oregon.
And I think, didn't they also want to block who their, not investors, their people are contributing donations, they didn't want to make that...
Right, and so the Grocery Manufacturers of America, PepsiCo, Bayer, Coca-Cola, those are the huge donors, along with Monsanto, that are contributing to prevent GMO labeling from becoming law.
Well, going back to the Bycott app, which
yes.
is very interesting, they've got different things that you could learn about. So you can join, for example, if you want to join the part that they'll tell you which demand GMO labeling. So when you scan a product, it'll tell you if there's any genetically modified organisms in it. Or another one, boycott child labor companies.
Very interesting, yeah. Yes.
Then they have one, boycott Johnson & Johnson. They have one to boycott DuPont. Also,
it's very interesting.
Monsanto.
A lot of times these companies have subsidiaries that you don't
right. So this will give you that information.
Right, connect with Monsanto and DuPont and so on.
They have one where if you join it, so when you scan something, it'll say say no to aspartame. You want to avoid that artificial sweetener. Here's a good one though. You can join this and says support our bees.
I sign all of the petitions. It's Home Depot and Lowe's that I'm trying to make my voice heard about them stopping selling the weed killer Roundup, The weed killer Roundup has glyphosate in it, and it's the glyphosate that is a direct contributor to colony collapse disorder. It's like, oh, this is such a big mystery. We don't understand why the bees are just disappearing. It isn't any mystery. The more glyphosate you just lay down on all different crops, as well as in our own yards, trying to kill weeds. Don't kill the weed with the Roundup, pull it up.
Well, let me just, they give you the number of members on some of these. So the biggest one is Demand GMO Labeling. They have 383,000 people that have signed up to with this app for that.
Dr. Bronner's soap, the liquid soaps that have been sold in health food stores for years and years and years, very high quality Castile soap. They were one of the biggest contributors to supporting GMO labeling. Dr. Mercola, he contributed mightily to the GMO labeling. It was very, very sad to see how much Whole Foods contributed, $25,000. Dr. Bronner's contributed over $1 million, Dr. Mercola over $1 million, and Whole Foods
You know what,
$25,000.
that sort of leaves them open for for competition. If another company came in that was I guess more consistent with the message of healthy eating and healthy lifestyle, instead of being more of a business, they would I think they could pull all the customers away.
Well, I think people, once again, read the labels, pay attention to where your so-called organic produce is coming from.
But like everything, if you only buy the organic products, the products that are not associated with GMO food, that's the products that'll be there. They won't bring in the other products.
Okay. Would you purchase organically labeled food from China?
Probably not.
Probably not,
Because you
right?
can't trust that.
Well, there's such a problem with pollution in China. And so if you're willing to spend extra money, you want to pay attention to quality. And coming from a polluted area, you're not necessarily going to be assured of the highest
But
quality.
you know what some people say to me is you can't even trust the organic label. What's your comment on that?
Oh, okay. I agree. I think there probably are some scammers out there, but I think we can only do what we can do. So you want to look for the seal, non-GMO. It has a little leaf and it's in a circle, non-GMO. And you want to look for the specific organization that has certified the particular product you're buying as organic. Again, there may be scammers, but the truth is you can probably find better quality and rely on certain organizations and certain purveyors.
So, in to summarize up everything, you can't go wrong going to the farmer's market, where you get the fresh produce that the just brought, just picked from the fields. That would be your best source of food.
And you get to look at the farmer and have a conversation about what's good and how they grow during different seasons and where the particular products have come from. You get to talk with the beekeeper about what his problems are, and by supporting him, you are supporting the fate of the bee colonies.
All right, and I think on that note, we can wrap up today's session of Natural Doc Radio.
I think that works for me. So thank you very much for tuning in to naturaldocradio.com. You've been listening to Dr. Herb Slavin, and I'm Janet Cimarelli. I hope you tune in again.